you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
I'm Tracy Thomas, host of One for the Books, a live literary event series from LAist. We are back with guests, author Amanda Montell, and actor Bella Lavelle. You can find us on May 15th at the Crawford Family Forum. Tickets at laist.com/events.
Great to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Fresh Air with Terry Gross coming up just a little bit later. And then, of course, 1 o'clock, it's All Things Considered, the first NPR feed of the day, with Austin Cross hosting. He'll have plenty of local news to talk about. But right now, we turn our attention to a fascinating study recently published in the journal Nature. Scientists from the Weizmann Institute of Science in Israel were able to grow mouse embryos in an artificial womb for several days. That's fairly far into the gestation process for mice. And the implications of this are quite stunning. For our better understanding of embryonic development, there could be great applications for humans in that. And ultimately, who knows, the potential for a robotic uterus where you could actually have human embryos develop. Joining us is medical reporter for the New York Times, Gina Colata. She wrote the piece, Scientists Grow Mouse Embryos in a Mechanical Womb. Gina, it's so good to have you back on. It's been way too long.
It has been a while, hasn't it, Larry? Well, it's always good to be back, and I'm so glad you asked me.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated with this stuff. This
is absolutely fascinating, and I'd like you, if you wouldn't mind, to sort of lay out the digest version of this and what the scientists did.
Oh, sure. Well, it's always been this mystery, what's going on when an embryo is developing. You start out with just a single cell, the egg. It gets fertilized, it starts to divide, and somehow you end up with billions of cells that form a fetus, and then when it's born, I guess, an animal. And so in order to look at the development of an embryo, the only way people could do it after the very first few days was to look at things like worms or flies, where they're transparent, you can watch them. They're not stuck inside a uterus, sort of housed in this opaque thing where you can't look inside. So it's been a dream to find a way of watching what's going on and maybe like perturbing it, saying, suppose we introduce a mutation. How does that affect development? Suppose we try to give it extra nutrients. Does it grow faster? I mean, what happens here? So these people in Israel, Dr. Hanna and his colleagues, have spent 7 years working on this with mouse embryos. And what they discovered, first they said, let's just try to grow these embryos in a petri dish in a test tube, in a laboratory. And the embryos would start to grow, and then they get stuck. They get all flattened out on the petri dish, sort of squashed, and they couldn't move. So they developed a system where they would take the embryos, and in the nature, they let them develop up to the point where they would get into the mouse's uterus. But later, now they don't even have to do that. They can take them right away, pretty much after fertilization. Stick them in a tube with all the food it needs to grow, the nutrients, and the tube is rotating, so the embryos don't stick to anything, and they're being given oxygen through another system, which is pumping it in. And these embryos can live halfway through pregnancy. And honestly, Larry, you would not believe the videos. It was just incredible. You could see these little things. They had little hearts are beating, and I think he told me 170 minutes. Their little limbs are there. They have little, you know how a human fetus looks like this little curled up snail thing? That's what these mice look like. They were only the size of an apple seed, but they were halfway through a mouse pregnancy. So it was really amazing. And you might say, well, why stop it halfway
through? Yeah, what happened then?
Giving them air, oxygen, and whatever else you need, so whatever the gases are. And it was getting through them through diffusion, just sort of floating through the cells. But after a while, the embryos were getting too big for diffusion to work because it couldn't get all the way through. So they're now working on a system to try to give that, because these things have a placenta. It's not like they don't have a placenta. They're going to try to give them, maybe give them blood through the placenta, maybe somehow getting the air into them some other way. But they're hoping, and they're very optimistic, that they'll be able to go a lot farther with these embryos than halfway through pregnancy.
So they just have an unattached placenta. So the idea would be that you could attach this to the source of nourishment and go to through full gestation?
I guess so. It was weird that they have all this and that they're actually embryos with placentas and little,
yeah,
and little limbs and everything. It was incredible.
Fascinating. We're talking with New York Times science writer Gina Kolata. If you have questions about this fascinating study, years long, as Gina was saying, at the Weizmann Institute of Science in Israel, under the direction of Dr. Jacob Hanna, we're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. Also with us from Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine, Professor of Genetics and Developmental Biology, Paul Tizar. Professor, thank you very much for being with us. What are the implications of this laboratory experiment?
Well, thanks so much for having me, Larry. Yeah, it's truly a remarkable achievement here. And I think one of the major things that the work enables is not only a better understanding of how our early organs develop, but really it's going to inform, I think, why certain birth defects develop and also why certain miscarriages occur. There's 3% of babies are born with some type of birth defect. This is 100,000 every year in the United States.
And are mice similar enough in that way, in their much more rapid gestation process, that we would be able to determine what's happening in human development?
Yeah, I think it's not, obviously a mouse is not a human, so there will be certain things that we can't model, but I think we still have a very rudimentary understanding of how and why certain birth defects arise, things like congenital heart disease or structural defects of the heart that affect 1% of kids born in the US, problems with how the spine and spinal cord form, things like spina bifida. And so ultimately this artificial womb technology, I think it's going to allow us to better understand, as well as to potentially prevent or treat many types of birth defects such as this.
Well, and what are the implications for stem cell science?
I mean, stem cell science is really our understanding of how we can utilize cells to regenerate cells and tissues that are lost in the body due to disease, aging, or injury. And so our ability to understand how those initial cells and tissues and organs form normally, and really now to not just have single snapshots of this process that's tucked away in mom's belly in the maternal uterus, but now really to watch that movie unfold in real time, provides us the understanding to know how these tissues and organs are formed early on during development so that we can really take advantage of that and leverage that to stimulate the regeneration of cells, tissues, and organs from stem cells in the adult.
Do you think this research has the potential for years down the line to provide an alternative for humans to have the embryonic development take place in a robotic uterus for women who would be unable to carry it themselves, and or others who would not want the fetal development to take place inside themselves and would prefer to have it done externally?
It's certainly hard to predict the future. And I think probably many decades away, but I don't think it's unreasonable to envision a time when human development can go from fertilization to quote unquote birth entirely outside of the uterus. I mean, it sounds like science fiction, but just think about something like an ostrich, for example, where you have a very large egg and a very that develops entirely outside of a uterus and is born at 2 or 3 pounds. And so I think it sounds like science fiction, but I certainly think at some point it will be possible. Whether or not we as scientists and society choose to go in that direction, I think is a separate question.
We'll continue with Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine Professor of Genetics and Developmental Biology, Paul Tizar, also with us. Gina Collada, medical reporter for the New York Times, wrote the piece, Scientists Grow Mouse Embryos in a Mechanical Womb. We'll take your questions, your calls at 866-893-KPCC. Back in 1 minute. Fresh Air with Terry Gross coming right up here on KPCC. And then to take you home this afternoon at 4 o'clock, with all things considered, it's Nick Roman hosting. He'll have much local news along, of course, with NPR's national and international news reporting. It's day 8 of the trial of former police officer in Minneapolis, Derek Chauvin, in that murder trial involving the death of George Floyd. I'm sure you'll be hearing more about the testimony, including expert witnesses from here in Los Angeles. With us right now from the New York Times, medical reporter Gina Collada, who's written so many terrific stories and books over the years on medical and science issues, and Paul Tizar, professor of genetics and developmental biology at Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine. We're at 866-893-KPCC for your questions about this. Will in Woodland Hills says, I say this scares me to death. We may be able to manufacture disposable human beings, and we would need to create an ethical line. Gina, you want to talk a bit about what bioethics questions this might raise for developing human fetuses outside the womb?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question, especially since now people are able to start the developmental process in mice and probably very soon in humans without using an egg. You take a cell, like a connective tissue cell, and you drive it back to its very origins, like it was like a blank slate cell, and then you start it developing, and it can actually develop into an embryo, and presumably, eventually, if you put it in the right circumstances, maybe, although we haven't done this in people, into a person. But it's kind of weird, because going a little bit beyond that question, the idea might be, could you take connective tissue cells from somebody, turn them into an early embryo, grow that embryo in the womb, and sort of make a clone of that person without ever using a human being. It's very weird, very science fiction-y. As Dr. Tizar said, this is way, way in the future, and it's not clear whether anybody would ever permit anything like that to happen. But it's sort of weird to think about it, and kind of creepy to think about it, I think, but that doesn't mean that it's outside of the realm of possibility. Can I mention one other thing?
Yeah.
Because it kind of fascinated me. I said, why are we writing about embryos, mouse embryos, when they're halfway through pregnancy? And you know what's strange? Apparently, they call a mouse embryo an embryo all the way through until when it's born, although with humans and other, we call it a fetus.
Yeah.
Very early stages. So basically what we have here are, if they were not mice, we would call them fetuses.
Okay, that's interesting. I didn't realize that was only used in human application in development. We're talking with Gina Collada, The New York Times, Paul Tizar, Professor of Genetics and Developmental Biology. Professor, to do the kind of experiment Gina was talking about on a human, is that banned at this point?
Yeah, right now, it would not be permissible. Governments and international scientific societies, including the International Society for Stem Cell Research, really have supported adherence to this so-called 14-day rule that has limited the time for culturing human embryos in the laboratory to 14 days, which is really prior to the formation of early organs. And there's it's important to remember there's a long history of this type of science that interfaces with reproductive technology, including in vitro fertilization, you know, which was very controversial and continues to be in certain circles controversial. But ultimately, that technology led to the birth of Louise Brown in 1978.
Miriam in Laguna Hills, good to have you with us. Your thoughts, please.
Yes, good morning, or good afternoon, sorry. I'm someone who's gone through 3 rounds of IVF, have gone through a miscarriage, and I am really excited to hear about this technology or modern medicine advancing, where potentially my embryos would have lived outside my body and all the way through birth. So it's definitely something, as a woman who's gone through losing 5 embryos that were perfectly healthy, that tested chromosomally well. I wish we were decades earlier,
yeah,
so that I can take advantage of this modern science.
Miriam, I thank you so much for your call, and sorry about the losses that you've gone through with this. You speak for many women and couples who've gone through this extremely emotionally challenging experience. Gina Collada, your thoughts on that? Because, of course, this would provide so much promise to so many women and couples.
It would, but it is still kind of in the realm of science fiction. It's so far off. So it would provide promise sometime in the future, but maybe sometime in the future, through this kind of research, doctors would have a much better idea of what's going wrong, why people are losing their pregnancies early. And maybe this kind of research would make it, I'm hoping it would be really great if it made it unnecessary for women to even consider having their babies in an artificial womb. I mean, that would be my hope.
Yeah.
You know, it's all this stuff is so futuristic.
Miriam, again, thank you for your call. Professor Tizar, your thoughts on that and the potential for better understanding problems that develop in utero.
Yeah, I think, one thing to also think about here is that, you know, we're talking about going from the beginning all the way through the end, but there's an additional 15 million babies that are born every year prematurely, and their chance of survival after before 22 weeks of gestation is only a mere 5%. So I think a knowledge that informs how to sustain development outside of the uterus is likely to improve survival outcomes for babies born prematurely as well. So lots of implications for this technology.
Thank you both very much. Really appreciate your talking about this fascinating story. Paul Tizar from Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine. He's professor of genetics and developmental biology. And my thanks to New York Times medical reporter Gina Collada. Her most recent piece that we're discussing, Scientists Grow Mouse Embryos in a Mechanical Womb. Stay tuned. It's Fresh Air with Terry Gross. She's at the mic today, coming up in just a couple of minutes. Then at 1 o'clock, it's the first NPR feed of the day of All Things Considered with our Austin Cross. And at 2, it's Take 2 with Abe Martinez. I'm back with you tomorrow morning at 10. Have a wonderful afternoon and rest of your day.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win, and the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.